We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The wedding went well, and now the guests are enjoying the party afterwards. You can hear their laughter above the sound of the music. You can see the beautiful candles that are lit on the table and smell them burning. You can smell the savory meat as it's brought to your table and hear the clink of glasses as wine is served. You can see the big pieces of wedding cake piled high with frosting and jewelry glittering in the candlelight. And you can hear the sighs and the applause as the wedding couple goes out on the floor for the first dance. The guests are really enjoying the party. But off in the corner, there's a man by himself who's wearing a t-shirt and jeans. He skipped the wedding. He's piling his plate full of food, and he's going back to the bar quite a few times. But he is ignoring the honored couple. He's ignoring all the sights and sounds around him. He doesn't hear the pride in the voice of the bride's father as he gives his speech. He doesn't see the love in the eyes of the couple as they dance around the floor. He's in the room, but is he at the party? Jesus tells another parable in two parts today. A king invites important people to celebrate his son's wedding, and they don't come. They don't want to. In a time when your reputation and your honor was worth more than money, that was a deep insult to the king. Surprisingly, he reissues the invitation, and then they ignore, abuse, and kill the messengers. So he destroys them. There's a lot of violence in these parables. But it's the second part of the parable where I think we have the most to understand this morning. It's in the second part that I think the Holy Spirit is really speaking to us. Because in that part, a man comes to the wedding, but he doesn't have a robe. Now, in Jesus' culture, even the poorest person wearing a patched tunic would take it off and bathe completely and borrow, if they did not own, the long white robe that was expected of guests at a wedding. Sometimes the host would provide it, but it was an affront. It was a deep insult to arrive at someone's wedding without a robe. So this man was showing as much contempt for the king as the people who wouldn't come, because he came, but like the jeans-clad loner, he came to the wedding. But was he really at the party? He failed to honor the king. And was he really at the party? This part of the parable has been thought of as a warning. And I think it is a warning to us, because we are in the room, literally, and we will enjoy the rich food and beverage of forgiveness soon. We have heard comforting words from Scripture. We know the joy of a God who loves us. Is it possible that we might be missing the party? I read an article recently about Jake. At that time, Jake was a junior in high school. He was taking advanced placement courses. He was running cross country. He was involved in a traveling club. But one morning, when his mother went in to wake him up, she found Jake curled up on the floor, refusing to go to school. He said, "I can't take it any longer." Jake was dealing with fear of failure. He was sure that if he went to class and failed his quiz, then he would get a lower grade in that class, and he was quite sure that he would fail in his goal of getting into the college of his choice, which was the University of North Carolina, I believe. He had told himself that there was nothing more he could do, that life was impossible. Well, Jake is not alone. Counselors in high schools are finding many students appear on their, in their offices who are suffering from anxiety. Well, and these students in suffering from anxiety are ones who never get to the point where they can say, I've done enough. I can stop now. They're always needing to take another class, be in another activity, in order to get into this college of their choice. And this article goes on to say they are not alone, that nearly one-third of all teens and adults have these same fears, and we all, at times, have anxiety. I wonder if we don't, at times, have these same fears, the feeling that we have to do better, and we have to do more. And I wonder if when we have these feelings, and we feel like the world is changing, that's what gives us our backaches and our stomach aches and our headaches, and that's what drives us to ignore the very people we love. It may drive us to drink too much or eat too much or ignore our health or ignore our spiritual life, these fears that haunt us. Well, you know, Jake got help. He went to a program that taught him to name each of his fears and then to create a response, a strong, positive response to each of these fears. God has given us the strong response we know when those fears creep into our lives. God has given us the words that we need to tell ourselves. We hear them in baptism. Child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and blessed with the cross of Christ forever. We hear them in the words of absolution. You are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The trick, of course, is to believe those words. Sometimes we don't realize that we've been driven by these fears, and then when we do, we think we don't have the strength to fight against them. We may not feel that we have the strength to fight against these fears, but God does, and God will. All we have to do, and really all we can do at times, is honor God by giving God space in our lives. Giving God space to work in our lives. And we do that as we come to God daily and tell God our fears and our hopes and our thanks, reasons that we're thankful, and our regrets. We give God space as we listen to God daily through the words of the Bible, through other Christian readings, through talks with other Christians. So when we give God space, what we do is we give God the ability to convince us that God is stronger than our fears, and that we, yes, can follow confidently Jesus the Good Shepherd, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Because there's another way to interpret the last half of this parable. What if the man who appeared without a robe wasn't a smug, lazy man who was trying to embarrass the host? What if he was someone who also was silent when he was accused? What if he was someone who was also bound to a cross? What if he was someone who experienced the weeping and gnashing of teeth on the cross? What if he had the robe when he came to the party? Then I think we know what he did with it. He gave his robe to us. He came down from his place of honor at the head table and gave us his robe of righteousness so that we would be worthy to come to his party. So how can we not accept this new identity? How can we not place this friend at the head of our tables and the center of our lives? Jesus has invited us. Now, let's celebrate with our whole lives his party. Amen.